Yes, good morning. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is a day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and we shall be glad in it. Welcome to our study of the Bible. Here, we study the Bible and we aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation. By the grace of God, we are at the book of Isaiah. If you've not listened to all the other books we've done straight from the book of Genesis, I ask you to please visit our website, visit our app, a Bible In-Depth Network, all podcast platforms like Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, Apple Podcasts, name it, you'll find the podcast there. And the Lord shall speak to you. The Lord shall reveal His word to you because there's no limitation to revelation. God reveals His word to everybody that shows the need. If you want God to speak to you, He will come out, He will speak to you, He will reveal His word to you. So, you can check them out, you can listen. You can wait on the Lord and He will speak to you. We've done 13 chapters of the book of Isaiah. And today I want us to continue with chapter 14, which starts by saying, when the Lord will have compassion on Jacob and again choose Israel and settle them in their own land, then strangers will join them and attach themselves to the house of Jacob. There is speech of hope here brought by Isaiah. He's speaking about that day when there will be peace once again, a day where there will be no sorrow for the house of Israel, for the house of Judah. And also he's adding the fact that strangers will join themselves to the house of Jacob. And this is an implication that their presence, all their surrounding is so enticing to others that they want to be part of them. Remember, they went through a season where they were captured, tortured, they are assimilated into a different culture, they lost their culture, but there is a promise that is to come where they will get their freedom back. And not only will they have it, but strangers will join themselves to them. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 to 19 tells us that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with saints, with the saints and of the household of God. Now when he comes out to speak here, that strangers will join themselves to that house of Jacob and Israel that the Lord has had compassion over, move it to the fact that we have been admitted into the benefits of the kingdom. We have been admitted into the salvation. That which belonged to the Jews comes to the Gentile now. You and I have access. That's what he's saying here. They'll come and join you. They'll come and be part of you. Yeah, when God has had compassion on Israel again. God has been so generous, so gracious, so loving, that though we are Gentiles, he says, you're strangers no more. You're part of me. You're part of Israel. You're part of my body. You're part of my children. Come and be part and enjoy the benefits. And that's what Isaiah prophesies. He says that day will come. And it has indeed come. The peoples will take them along and bring to them to their place, and the house of Israel will possess them as an inheritance in the land of the Lord as male servants and female servants. And they will take their captors captive and will rule over their oppressors. Of course, now this goes down to the situation that they were going through then currently, that those which took you captive, Assyria, Babylon, You shall have victory over them, and it will be in the day when the Lord gives you rest from your pain and turmoil and harsh service in which you have been enslaved, that you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon and say, how the oppressor has ceased and how fury has ceased. God comes to your life at one point in time, and we need to be expectant always, and takes away that which used to take you captive, and takes away the oppressor, and takes away the pain, and takes away all those things in your life that would pull you back, that would capture you and say you're not going forward, that would oppress you, the thoughts that used to oppress you about yourself, the self-esteem that was too low. A day comes and God says you have victory over it. And to this Israel saying, you will rest from your pain. You will rest from the pain that was caused by those who took you captive. And I need to know today as a Christian that I will rest from the pain that has been caused in my life. Life is filled with challenges. Life is filled with obstacles. Life sometimes is filled with people who come and haunt you and take all the hope out of you. Experiences that you've gone through, they could be in your family, and they told you, you're no longer part of us. We do not need you anymore. Go. You're not useful. People who have spoken negatively about you at work, bosses who have told you never amount to anything. But the day comes when you rest from that pain. And you don't hold on to it when it's time to let go of it. You know, sometimes it's time to rest, but we keep fighting. Sometimes the grace is abundant for us to rest from the pain that has been caused, but we keep fighting. We keep visiting, revisiting that which happened in the past. But the grace is abundant. There comes a time, such as this, which Isaiah is telling the Israelites, where pain shall go, and you need to rest. And your mind might want to play you back into history, take you back into that which happened. But you need to know that the grace is abundant. And you need to move on. You need to move on past that relationship that broke you. You need to move on past that trouble at work that you went through and messed up your entire career. You need to move on and get to another level, because there comes a day when it's time to rest from your pain, from the turmoil, from the harsh service, from the enslavement that you had. There comes a time, and you need to embrace it, because God has been gracious enough that he has presented this to us. Yeah, and he's telling them here that they will taunt against the king of Babylon and say how the oppressor has ceased and how fury has ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of rulers, which used to strike the peoples in fury with unceasing strokes, which subdued the nations in anger and unrestrained persecution. They know that it is God who has fought this battle. The battle does not belong to me. It belongs to the Lord. And it's the Lord that breaks the staff of the wicked. It's the Lord that breaks the scepter of the rulers. It's the Lord that comes out and takes victory for us. So in whatever I am going through, in whichever situation I go through in life, the battle is of the Lord. I give it to the Lord to fight for me. I leave it to the Lord to come out and fight for me. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into shouts of joy. Even the cypress trees rejoice over you. The cedars of Lebanon saying, since you are laid low, no tree cutter comes up against us. You know, there comes a time of peace when everything, when things you seemed to think they will never go, have gone. When oppression you seemed to think can never leave has left. And that's what is being talked about here. That even trees are rejoicing. And they are saying, Sheol from beneath is excited over you to meet you when you come. It arouses for you the spirits of the dead and all the leaders of the earth. It raises all the kings of the nations from their thrones. They will all respond and say to you, even you have been made weak as we. You have become like us. Your pomp and the music of your harps have been brought down to Sheol. Maggots are spread out as your bed beneath you, and worms are your covering. They're talking about the enemy here. They're talking about the devil himself. They're talking about Satan. Because irrespective of Babylon existing as a physical place and taking Israel into torture, it is a clear representation of the devil himself. That's what he does. Takes people captive, takes people into torture, takes people's lives and ruins it. And they're saying here, even Sheol shall receive this devil, this evil, this enemy, and they shall taunt as well. They shall say, even you have been made weak because you seemed so strong. You know, the enemy can hit you so hard and you feel like they're untouchable. But a day comes, because God has all the power, God has all the might, has all the strength. A day can come and he comes out to make that enemy weak. That's the day they're talking about here. And they go on in verse 12 saying, how you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You've been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. Yeah? The day has come. He's falling out of heaven, down to the earth. And we see in Luke chapter 10, verse 18 says, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. This could be the day that Isaiah refers to as well. Yeah? That you shall fall from heaven. You, Lucifer, you thought that you were the strongest. Yeah? But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. He's speaking about what the enemy always thought, what Satan always thought, yeah, that he's powerful, so he'll rise above. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 says, who opposes and exalts himself? Here they're talking about the son of perdition, yeah, that he's the one opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, trying to take the position of God. And that's what the enemy is doing, or was doing, as far as Isaiah speaks here. Yeah, he said, I will ascend to heaven, I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will be like God. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. That is what Satan wanted to do. That is what Lucifer wants to do. That is what the devil is trying to do. Go and sit. Go above the Lord. Be like the Most High, taking the place of God. But that is not possible because he has been made weak. And that's what happens. People wanting to be like God. People wanting to raise themselves and be treated like God. There is only one God, the Lord who made the heaven and the earth, the one who created all things. There is only one God, and there can be no other. Even as Lucifer tries to take place, he fails in his attempt, because there is only one God. And we see on the earth people trying to be gods, people trying to make gods, people trying to do all things and create images and create all sorts of things to worship, saying that is my God, but that cannot happen because there is only one God. And we see the enemy even in Genesis, as they're in the Garden of Eden, when he's tempting Eve, he mentions that you'll be like the Most High. God doesn't want you to be like him. Eat this fruit and you'll be, because that's what the devil does. He wants to make you fall just like he fell. He knows what caused trouble to him was wanting to be like the Most High. And he says the same thing to Eve and to Adam. And they're being told, if you eat of this fruit, you will be like God. There's something that wants us to be like God, tells us that you should be like God. You should be equal in power. And that all comes from the enemy, because he's the one who started it. He wanted to be like the Most High. So, in his endeavors to want to be like the Most High, he's broke down, because it can't happen. There's only one God. Nevertheless, you'll be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you. They will ponder over you, saying, listen, is this the man who made the earth tremble? Because that's what the devil does. He makes the earth tremble with all the plot and evil that is done on the earth. So people are wondering, those that are down there, is it you that made the earth tremble? Who shook kingdoms? Who made the world like a wilderness and overthrew its cities? Who did not allow his prisoners to go home? Of course, here, like I said, we have the physical attachment of Babylon as a nation that existed in reality being spoken of, because that's what also Babylon did. They took the one empire, the world's superpower, took control of the world, took captives, took prisoners, made them suffer. But their glory is gone. Yeah. And says you did not even allow prisoners to go home. All the kings of the nations lie in glory, each in his own tomb, but you have been cast out of your tomb like a rejected branch, clothed with the slain, who are pierced with the sword, who go down to the students of a pit like a trampled corpse. You will not be united with them in burial, because you have ruined your country. You have slain your people. May the offspring of evildoers not be mentioned forever. Prepare for his sons a place of slaughter because of the iniquity of their fathers. That is a very key statement, that the iniquity of fathers can bring trouble to their generation, to their children, to their sons. Of course, the biggest likelihood is sons take after their parents, after their fathers. The way that they treated others is the same way these also come to treat people. Yeah, and they share in that iniquity. They share in that punishment. They must not arise and take possession of the earth and fill the place, the face of the world with its cities. I'll rise up against them, declares the Lord of hosts. I'll cut off from Babylon name and survivors, offspring and posterity, declares the Lord. When the Lord comes to fight the enemy, he clears everything. He clears everything. He takes away their name. He takes away their people. He takes away their position. He takes away their posterity. Nothing remains. When God is coming to heal you, he will take care of everything. He will take away all disease. He will take away all pain. He will take away all that has oppressed you and depressed you and has taken you captive. When the Lord comes, he takes away everything. So I need to be strong in the Lord. I need to be hopeful in the Lord as I wait for him to come into my situation, to come into my workplace. I need to be hopeful and I wait, because when he comes with all goodness, with all glory, with all honor, and places it upon me. And he says, I will also make it a possession for the hedgehog and swamps of water, and I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts. That's judgment coming against Babylon. Of course, we've seen the representation of the devil himself also in that judgment of Babylon, but also Babylon as a physical place. We get such destruction coming to it, declared by the Lord through Isaiah as he speaks here. And he continues, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, just as I have intended, so it has happened. And just as I have planned, so will stand. Now there is a judgment coming to another nation here. To break Assyria in my land, and I will trample him on my mountains. Remember, Assyria takes Israel captive. Babylon takes Judah captive. All these are people of God. Yeah, these are enemies that come and take them captive. And also for Assyria, it's been spoken that judgment shall come to it. Then his yoke will be removed from them and his burden removed from their shoulder. Yeah, this is the plan devised against the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out against all nations. For the Lord of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate it? When God has said it will be. When God says I will have victory over your enemy, he means it. It's not a chance. It's not will it be. When he says that I will have victory over the enemy, he will have it. When he says I will frustrate Assyria, he means it. When he says I will stretch out my hand against Assyria, he means it. And he will see it come to completion. What am I going through? What is that which seems so hard? When God says that he will come and fight my battles, he will. And somebody is out there today, and you're wondering, will God come? Will God come in this thing that I'm going through? Will God come? I don't know what it is. But the promise I give you is, when God says I'll fight your battles, he indeed comes to fight your battles. When God says he will come and see you succeed in life, it doesn't matter the circumstances around. It doesn't matter how much failure looks to surround you. It doesn't matter how many interviews you've failed. God will come. Wait on him. He will come. Because when he says he will do it, he will do it. For Assyria here, he says that he will stretch out his hand against them. For the Lord of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate it? If God has planned for it to happen, no person can frustrate it. If God has said that job is yours, you will have no connections and you'll get it. If God has said that job is yours, there will be people who know the panelists and they will not get the job. If God has said that job is yours, who can frustrate it? Because God has set a plan. He has laid it out for you. Have hope, have faith, have belief as you wait on the Lord. And as for his stretched out hand, who can turn it back? Nobody. In the year that King Ahaz died, this oracle came. Verse 29. Do not rejoice, O Philistia, all of you, because the rod that struck you is broken. For from the serpent's root, a viper will come out, and its fruit will be a flying serpent. Those who are most helpless will eat, and the needy will lie down in security. I will destroy your root with famine, and it will kill off your survivors. Wail, O Gath, cry, O city, melt away, O Philistia, all of you. For smoke comes from the north, and there is no straggler on his ranks. How then will one answer the messengers of Zion, that the Lord has founded Zion, and the afflicted of his people will seek refuge in it? The word that is coming out here is clear and is speaking hope that those that took you captive shall take you captive no more, because God comes out to fight. We shall close with chapter 15, which says, the oracle concerning Moab, surely in the night, Ar of Ob is devastated and ruined. Surely in a night, Car of Moab is devastated and ruined. They have gone up to the temple and to Dibon, even to the high places to weep. Moab wails over Nebo and Medeba. Everyone's head is bowed and every beard is cut off because they are in a season of mourning. That's what they used to do in their culture. If it's time for mourning, you cut off your head, your hair from your head, and also you cut off the beard when you're in time of mourning. In the streets, they have guarded themselves with sackcloth. On their housetops and in their squares, everyone is wailing, dissolved in tears. Remember, these were enemies, of all oppressors of Israel. And now it's their time. On their housetops and in their squares, everyone is wailing, dissolved in tears. Heshbon and Eleah also cry out. Their voice is heard all the way to Jahaz. Therefore, the armed men of Moab cry aloud. His soul trembles within him. My heart cries out for Moab. His fugitives are as far off as Zoar and Eglath-Shelishiah. For they go up to the Ancient of Luhith weeping. Surely on the road to Horonaim they raise a cry of distress over their ruin. For the waters of Nimrim are also desolate. Surely the grass is withered. The tender grass died out. There is no green thing. Therefore the abundance which they have acquired and stored up, they carry off over the brook of Arabim. For the cry of distress has gone around the territory of Moab. Its wail goes as far as Eglam, and its wailing even to Beer Elim. For the waters of Dimon are full of blood. Surely I will bring added woes upon Dimon, a lion upon the fugitives of Moab, and upon the remnant of the land. For those that tortured Israel, their time of judgment will come. As far as Isaiah speaks here, speaking that which will come to those nations, even to Moab, yeah? Even though they have relations to Israel, they never left it in peace. They kept letting them suffer and go through pain. And that is what comes out to them as destruction. Yeah? And Moab also is going to go through such a season. And his judgment is spoken further here. Send the tribute lamb to the ruler of the land, from Sela by the way of the wilderness to the mountain of the daughter of Zion. Then like fleeing birds or scattered nestlings, the daughters of Moab will be at the fords of Arnon. Give us advice. Make a decision. Cast your shadow like night at high noon. Hide the outcasts. Do not betray the fugitive. Let the outcasts of Moab stay with you. Be a hiding place to them from the destroyer. For the extortion has come to an end. Destruction has ceased. Oppressors have completely disappeared from the land. A throne will even be established in loving kindness, and a judge will sit on it in faithfulness in the tent of David. Moreover, he will seek justice and be prompt in righteousness. Yeah, there's a promise there coming out. The fact that oppression ends. And that has been the key word we've mentioned today. Oppression comes to an end. And who gives us the victory? It is Christ Jesus. Whichever oppression that we go through in this world, there is victory. And it is in Christ Jesus. Because he's the one seated on that throne. He's the one that gives us victory. He's the one that fights for us, irrespective of what type of enemy you have. And here, even Moab as well, they're speaking of it. We have had the pride of Moab, an excessive pride. Even of his arrogance, pride, and fury, his idol boasts are false. Therefore, Moab will wail. Every one of Moab will wail. You will mourn for the raising cakes of Kahasheth, as those who are utterly stricken. For the fields of Heshbon have withered, the vines of Seba as well. The lords of the nations have trampled down its choice clusters within, which reached as far as Jezer and wandered to the deserts. Its tendrils spread themselves out and passed over the sea. Therefore, I will weep bitterly for Jezer, for the vine of Seba. I will drench you with my tears, O Heshbon and Elah, for the shouting over your summer fruits and your harvest has fallen away. Gladness and joy are taken away from the fruitful field. In the vineyards also, there will be no cries of joy or jubilant shouting. No trader treads out wine in the presses, for I have made the shouting to cease. Therefore my heart intones like a harp of Moab, and my inward feelings for Kashareth. So it will come out about when Moab presents himself, when he wearies himself upon his high place and comes to his sanctuary to pray, that he will not prevail. When the time of judgment has come. It doesn't matter what you do anymore. Even whatever Moab does, it will not prevail. This is the word which the Lord has spoken earlier concerning Moab. But now the Lord speaks, saying, within 3 years, as a hired man would count them, the glory of Moab will be degraded along with all his great population, and his remnant will be very small and impotent. That is what has come out as judgment to all those who once tortured Israel. And Isaiah is saying in 3 years it's coming. However great Moab seems, it will be brought down and will have nothing left. God fights our battles. God comes out for us. God knows. God sees. And God fights for his people. And that is the hope I have. That's the hope we should have in this world, that a day comes when the oppressor shall be defeated. And that battle is always for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your direction. We thank you, Lord, that you show us the way. You show us the direction. You give us hope. You fight our battles. It doesn't matter what oppression your people are going through. You can handle it. You can fight for them. That's our prayer today, that you come and fight for us. We give you glory and we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.